Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more information, visit HearstRanch.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
You're listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm back for another week of radio in Roberta's Restaurant in Brooklyn. And today I'm joined by Iris Avalar and Marina Garcia Vasquez, founders of the blog Mex in the City, a multifaceted site dedicated to touching upon the increasing Mexican culture in our fast-paced New York landscape, reflecting a community of New York tastemakers, trendsetters, and cultural mavens across many industries. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Hi.
Thank you.
So that was sort of a terrible introduction to what you're actually doing. Please describe what Mex in the City is.
Mex in the City is an online community developed to share the positive aspects of our culture and heritage here in New York City.
How did you guys, you know, let's talk about how you met and what inspired you to create this site.
How did we meet? They're friends in common, but working.
We worked together in a magazine in San Francisco called Planet Magazine. And when we moved to, Iris moved to New York first, and I came to visit and lived with her. And then we lived together, and we found that the first year that I was here, we were cultural ambassadors to Mexican culture. Everywhere we went in the downtown community, whether it was La Esquina when it first opened or Sway,
yeah,
who knows, we found that we were constantly educating people about Mexican culture and history. And there were always kind of derogatory marks from the people around us saying like, oh, you don't look Mexican, or really Mexican culture is about that, or Mexican food should be this. And we really wanted to change the conversation and really show with the site how diverse our culture and our heritage is.
You both have really, really interesting backgrounds, and I would love for you to both describe sort of what you do outside of Mex in the City, because it's pretty awesome.
Well, I also co-own a Mexican taqueria in Williamsburg called La Superior. Pretty much that's like, you know, where I dedicate most of my time and energy with Mex in the City, of course. But I also come from a family of, like, being in an industry. I was pretty much raised in restaurants, my uncles, my parents, my brother. So, yeah, I guess in a way I am your kind of your typical Mexican in that way. I've been eating Mexican food since I was born. I don't know.
It's pretty awesome. It's my favorite Mexican restaurant in the city, so it's great.
My background is in journalism and in digital media, and I worked for a long time in San Francisco working in several, interests in journalism, from business reporting to arts and culture. And when I came to New York, I really dabbled in many industries across the board, from art book publishing to luxury PR, back to writing kind of investigative journalism pieces. And so I'm kind of the bridge between all my friends with very specialized interests, like Iris and our friend Erika and Ruby, who are our co-founders. And I was the one that prompted them to really use their voices and their experiences to, again, promote Mexican culture and this idea of kind of the American dream and how far you can achieve your dreams in New York City.
Let's get into some of the components of the site. because you've broken it down into various sections that I love. And I mean, there's art, food and drink, fashion and design. There's culture and trends and, you know, travel and music. You know, talk about sort of within these categories, some of your favorite highlights of what you're doing within them.
Sure. One of the biggest components for us is most of us work, again, from the PR production background. And so it was very important for us to highlight artists, people with artistic vision who don't necessarily get that much media. And so, and instead of working from an events or calendar perspective, we really wanted to show very quickly how artists are showing their work, whether it's in New York or Mexico City. And so just showing a piece of their artwork and giving people the opportunity to kind of investigate on their own. So giving them a link to their site or to other places where they can educate themselves on their work. Another big aspect is music. And so finding places in the city where you can go out and listen to great live music or DJs, like the Que Bajo DJs that we work with on a regular basis.
What is racial profiling? And this time around, it's actually a good thing.
Right. We were just asked this recently at another event that we spoke at. Racial profiling is an editorial, a photo essay. It's much like a New York Magazine lookbook. We wanted to turn that, you know, derogatory phrase upside down and make it something that was graceful and beautiful and had some deeper meaning behind it. And so we went and found really inspiring, productive Mexicans here in New York, took their portraits and asked them kind of their professional and educational experiences and what makes them unique in this huge landscape of New York. We've extended that portrait series to Mexico City and this year into Los Angeles.
Iris, can you describe some of maybe like one or two people from the racial profiling that you love to talk about?
I guess on top of my head, I would say one of the most prominent would be, Carlos Gutierrez, the hotelier from Grupo Habita. It's one of the people that I guess... mostly admire and I look up to because of what his vision has conquered in, you know, outside Mexico, you know, pretty much cross borders. And that's one of the, you know, factors and important essence that racial profiling, you know, seeks to bring out. Another one, I guess, got me on the spot. Help me out here, Marina. goodness, there's so many. Mariana Salem, she's the events director at New Museum, and she previously was working at the Museo del Barrio. That's where I met her, and she's just an amazing woman, and it's very motivating to have someone in the arts and such, you know, high status also be part of the community, and, you know, and also bring that influence and motivation to others.
How do you guys come up with who the subjects are? Do you sort of have like a brainstorming session, or is it just more like, oh, we know tons of people? And
we sit down every year and we nominate, we each nominate groups of people. Yeah. And we sit down and we have discussions to diversify. So it's very important for us at Mex in the City to not only promote Mexican Americans in the United States, but also Mexican nationals. We find that we're the only ones that are really wanting to have that conversation to bridge the gap between the U.S. and Mexico in this way, and that their creative forces and juices are really important in terms of collaboration. So we sit down and we talk about, you know, which industries we haven't really touched on. It's for the most part, when you have young business owners, the business savvy know how to maneuver through the world. So we are really, I guess, more motivated to represent artists and those who are not so savvy with their media or kind of disenfranchised or haven't found a voice for themselves. So we really are looking to promote the graphic designers, the artists, the painters, the architects within our community.
In the past, I've had on guests, I had a guest on from this blog called Awesome Tapes from Africa, and we got into this subject about crowdsourcing and how the internet has kind of made this bridge between people across the world and connecting and discovering music, etc. And in the same tone, you know, when you're bridging people from Mexico City and other parts of Mexico with New Yorkers, have you seen any connections or really any cool things come from the site as a result of the internet?
I guess, I mean, people that, I guess, have emailed us saying how they identify and with our site from like all over the world. Something really unique was, I guess, an email from Sweden, from a Mexican, like
a whole family
of musicians that Marina later went and met when she was in Europe. And it was kind of like an amazing, you know, just phenomenon for us to, you know, hear from these, you know, people from so far away saying that they finally felt like a connection, that they, you know, they can identify themselves as, you know, in the culture outside of Mexico and being so far away, you know, it's pretty intense.
That's insanely amazing.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Wait, so what happened with the family? What was the meeting
so,
like?
So this woman, Teresa, who's a beautiful person, she emailed me and said, hey, there's a big family of us in Sweden, in Stockholm. Two brothers who are musicians from Mexico traveled through Europe in the 70s, and they set up shop in Sweden. They married, they had children, and so these are their children. So they're Mexican Swedish, and but born in Sweden, and so have always identified with the Swedish culture. But we're looking really to reinvest in their Mexican identity. And so when they found the site, they were just really inspired and found like that they had finally found a home for themselves. And so they're constantly sending us their news, what they're into, what they're eating, where they're going in Sweden, and as a way of connecting. And so when I was in Sweden, I went and met with them or with Teresa, and it was like meeting a cousin. We had so many things in common. So it was really, really powerful. And not just for us in terms of an international level, but people come to us from Chicago or from Texas saying, or even San Francisco, where we're from, you know, where we really need you. We're really inspired by the work that you're doing. Please come here and you know, do racial profiling in San Francisco, or highlight people in New York or in Austin or in San Antonio, places where we thought there was a lot of coverage and Mexican identity and publications, where people are just really wanting to reevaluate a fresh Mexican experience.
Pretty badass. Pretty badass. On that note, we're going to take a really quick break, but when we get back, we have lots more from the girls behind Mex in the City. You're listening to You Look Hungry. Keep it locked.
You're listening to IDID by Obesity on heritageradionetwork.org.
Ranch grass-fed beef, pasture-raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
If you're just tuning in, you are listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I am still your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm joined today by Iris Avalar and Marina Garcia Vasquez. Keep mispronouncing that. From the lovely site Mex in the City. Pretty amazing. And before the break, we were discussing what it is and what's, you know, the meat of it. But I want to kind of shift gears here and let's talk about Mexico. So let's say that you travel to Mexico tomorrow. You can go anywhere. Where do you go? What are you doing? What do you eat? What do you drink? Etc.
I guess Mexico City, I could say pretty much is where we've been mostly going to back and forth with, obviously, the connection and the bridge that we're, you know, building with Mexican City. And we like to hang out. I mean, when I go there, I like to hang out in the Roma, Condesa areas. It's more like, you know, very colonial, bourgeoisie, I guess, at that time, but now, like, artsy scene.
Super
and super, yeah, just everything, all kinds of food that you find is pretty much like a little mecca in a New York City little neighborhood, like the Lower East Side and stuff, where you find anything from great Mexican food, authentic, gourmet, you know, French, Thai. And also, I guess, outside of Mexico City, I love to travel. If I can go back to, is obviously the Mayan Riviera, just the most amazing beaches there, Tulum, you know, little villages, you know, fishermen villages there where you can eat fresh caught fish and then cook it right there on the beach. It's pretty amazing.
I know. I want to go to there. Sounds great.
I don't know. Anything else? I mean, you, you think.
In Mexico City, we eat at La Patrona. Which is our friend Ricardo Pandal's restaurant, right?
Yes.
He's also a racial profiler. Our friend's Anonymous Gallery, which just opened in La Roma this last year. We're great fans of them, bringing New York culture to Mexico City. Museo Tamayo is amazing. The Chapultepec Park, just for a stroll any day of the week, is a beautiful place to kind of investigate Mexican culture.
Because if you didn't know, there's an amazing castle there where the Austrian emperor used to, well, live, or he built it.
It's a central park of Mexico City.
It's amazing. It's beautiful.
What do you guys crave, like, when you get down there? What's the first thing that you're like, oh, God, I need this ASAP?
Una chela fría.
What is that?
Like cold beer. Really. I mean, apart from obviously staples of like, yeah, you want to go to like street vendors and have your, you know, quesadillas and tacos or whatever. Yeah, I mean.
Huaraches.
Yeah, God. Everything. I just don't want to. Yeah, and outside of Chapultepec, they have all these kind of street vendors and like in the. Near the subway station outside, and it's amazing. And yeah, and it's clean.
Also, one of our favorites is Xochimilco, which is the...
I still haven't gone. You have.
Oh, so it's like a Venetian tour, I guess, of the floating gardens in Mexico City, outside of the city. And so you ride on little boats, and they bring you food. There's food vendors on boats, and they'll sell you tacos, enchiladas, and you're just buying buckets of beer and hanging out. It's very awesome.
Why doesn't that happen in the East River here?
We can, Gowanus.
I've heard, I don't know, I read somehow that they were building, like, you know, pretty much a chalupa.
They did,
right? Mm-hmm. But it was more of like an art installation. It wasn't like really that they were going to build out, you know, the whole experience.
They need a beer sponsor.
They need a beer sponsor. I also love how in Mexico you can just, you know, have your pop-up restaurant outside on your, like, garage. Like, a lot of places in small, like, communities or neighborhoods, they just, like, pop up on the doors and they're like, yeah, we have tables outside on our, like, driveway and people serve food.
Done and done.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the same tone, how would you describe a day in New York City through the lens of Max and the City? What would you do? What would you eat? Etc.
I mean,
everything starts and ends at La Superior.
For me, I'm there. I told everyone, I was like, since we opened, I think I've gained 10 pounds a year. And I'm not kidding. It's so true. You can see pictures. It's like, yes. And also, I kind of just, when I just stroll around and things that, you know, caught my, you know, eye that, you know, remind me of Mexico and everyday life here in New York are like the churro vendors in on the L stop in like everywhere in the city and in Williamsburg, or also in Williamsburg, the tamales vendors, they're like everywhere on like every street corner. I love how now sarapes are cloaks. Awesome. They're just like are fashionable now. They don't only keep you warm, but things like that. I mean, and how you can go to any restaurant, make it French or, you know, Italian or whatever, there's always Cholula.
Yeah.
In the back. Like, you have to, you know, just like ask. It's kind of like asking for an illegal substance. Hey, you know, you think you can
pass me that Cholula. Iris does that everywhere we go.
Yeah.
We're also very big proponents of Mexican-owned, Mexican-promoting businesses. So, like, the Y Gallery, our friends are working at now, curating for.
Aldo Sanchez, yeah.
And Hotel Americano, which is a big capital of culture for us, for Carlos's work. And just for the fact that it is a hub of bringing Mexico City culture to New York.
Brown, you know, Alejandro Alcocer,
Tacombi.
It's a bunch of different.
Yeah, Echondumbo.
Yeah, no. And there's a big community, I feel like, that is even growing stronger in the city with, like, establishments. Not necessarily art about Mexican food, but, you know, are Mexican-owned. So important.
You guys throw some seriously amazing parties. And, you know, one of them is Mexican Morrissey Night.
Correct, at Lit Lounge.
Tell us what that is. What happens there?
A lot
of men fun. Swaying back and forth. we started this Mexican Morrissey Night out of this heritage of ours from California. Being emo, being post-colonial, being very much into the pobre de mi aspect of our culture. So we have, for the most part, Angelo Baque from Supreme and Fernando Lyons, who's a tattoo artist here in Williamsburg. There are DJs. For the most part, we sometimes have
guest DJs,
depending on the off months that one of them is traveling. They're very in demand, those two. And so they really curate some great Morrissey en Español, and 80s emo, indie rock. Sometimes they throw in some hip-hop just to mix it up.
Freestyle, because I like it.
It's a street,
yeah,
New York downtown,
yeah,
pretty much. Dungeon of
and Mexican,
dancing.
You know, Americans and Mexican nationalists that come for like the 80s and new wave and Morrissey, obviously.
It sounds amazing. And I've heard amazing things. So Christmas is in 5 days. Do you have any favorite Christmas traditions or, you know, like recipes or cocktails that you like to make?
Well, traditions, yes. I actually miss a lot of the, I guess, the Christian, like Catholic traditions like pastorelas and posadas. And this, it's this organization called Mano a Mano. So it's a nonprofit organization also geared to promote heritage and Mexican traditions. They do an annual pastorela and posadas, meaning a pastorela is kind of like it's a play where they like reenact
the nativity.
Exactly. And then after that, the posadas, which are like the festivities that surround them. And they start on the 16th and go all the way until Christmas Eve. And if you go on to manomano.us, you'll, you know, find out more information on what, you know, where they do them. And apart from there, like the food that comes with like Christmas, it's like amazing. We have tamales, we have babo, which turkey. It's pretty much like a Thanksgiving and Mexican fusion, right? Like of Western,
the Americas,
yeah, the Americas, indigenous culture, and food. It's amazing. Ponche, which is like this hot, what you call it, like a hot punch with, you know, you can add rum if you want, you know,
yes,
for
please.
The adult, for the kids. What else can you remember? We have cider, but our cider, Mexican cider is spiked. There are no non-alcoholic ciders in Mexico. Like when I was there, I was looking for, they don't exist. Oh goodness, just it's great. I do think that in Queens they truly celebrate it authentically. I've heard from many people.
Tomorrow marks the last day of the Mayan calendar. What are your thoughts?
Only good things to come.
Is he laughing?
Our producer's laughing too.
It's a new era. I think that's what it's meant to mean. Not like the end of the world. It's
only the beginning.
Yes.
Yeah, I heard actually an interview on NPR with a Mayan priest who was saying, you know, this is completely misinterpreted and it's been really negatively expressed in the media. Mm-hmm. So
no, we're not worried.
Good. That's what I like to hear. So what is on the horizon in the new year for Mex in the City?
We have a lot of projects that we're really focused on expanding. If you look on our site, aside from the Tumblr that we've spoken about the blog content, if you go on mexinthecity.com, we have our racial profiling series, which we're launching for the next group of candidates or profiles for New York and LA in the spring. We have a special pilot program that we've developed with a local high school called Movement Makers, which is teaching high school students identity politics through ethnic studies, Latino literature, and distilling that experience through their own blogs. So really teaching them new media skills. We're looking to develop racial profiling into a book. And we've just, what else do we have?
We're developing with our programmers an app, a guide, sort of a street.
City guides.
City guides. But more, well, like a specific and curated to the Mexican experience in New York.
Mexican Morrissey Night, there's another one coming up in January. Do you have the date yet?
We don't have the date, but it's monthly. So check back with us most likely at the end of the month.
Awesome.
When people come back from their holidays. everyone in New York is going to be in Tulum, so they'll be yes. ready for some.
Take me with you. Well, Iris and Marina, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. And you guys are amazing, and you know, keep up the great work. And for more information, go on to mexinthecity.com. As always, thanks so much to Jack Inslee, Joe Galarraga, and the rest of the crew at Heritage Radio and Roberta's. I'll see y'all next week.
And get some meat, turkey and jam, macaroni and ham. Say, do you like steak? I can surely make.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.